We have the author of this in our heart who says, I'll cause you to understand it. I'll cause you to see it. Jesus is in every chapter from Genesis to Revelation. The word says, behold him, see him. We see Jesus and we behold Jesus and we're changed. But brothers and sisters, church, if you let it gather dust, if you can't find it, I carry my Bible everywhere with me. I am never without it. And I can tell you, the Lord has used just that. I've had dozens of people come to the Lord. What's that, a Bible? Yeah, it's a Bible. I didn't carry it for that purpose. I didn't figure, I'll carry a Bible and then they'll... No, that's not good thinking. I don't carry it for that reason. I carry it because I have Jesus in my heart and I'm carrying him in the book. This is Jesus. The Lord spoke to me one day and said, to the degree that you love this word is the degree you love me. You still here? Do you love it? Do you love that word? Hallelujah. It is so good. It has so much in it. But let me tell you one thing it does have that's so great. It will make you a millionaire giver among many other things. Keep the word in your eyes. Keep the word in your hearing. Keep the word in your mouth and in the midst of your heart. And it is healing to all your flesh. There shouldn't be one single child of God not healthy. You say, well, why are they? Because they ain't doing what Jesus said. Are you not over it with all the medicine advertising and sick and disease advertising on TV? Is anybody over that by now? But what is happening when we subject ourselves to that? It's being seeded into you, into your heart. God has called us to do what? Guard our heart with all diligence. For out of it proceeds all the issues of life. Amen? That's the one area. Instead of getting so caught up in what we got to do, and doing the rules, and doing this, and doing that, and all the outward, understand, Jesus said to us, God said to us, tend the garden. What's your garden? Your heart. That's the area that he has said to us, I'm holding you responsible for your own heart. I'm not responsible for Brother Noel's heart. I'm not responsible for anybody else's heart. A long time ago when I first started pastoring, the Lord said, pastors make terrible saviors. Said, thank you, Lord. He's a Savior. He's Lord. Let him be Lord. Amen? I'm not responsible to change you guys. I'm not responsible to get you to change. I'm putting it out there. By the unction of the Spirit of God, I guarantee you that. I wouldn't be up here otherwise. I'd say, Brother Don, time to close up. Let's leave. I want no part of me in it. However, I'm not responsible to make you do what Jesus said. I'm not responsible to chase after you to get... How many of you know Jesus never chased after anybody? He let the rich young ruler walk. He didn't run after him and say, hey, can we work this out? Let's make a deal. No, it was what Jesus said. Now, what did he tell the rich young ruler? He said, give one thing you lack, give all, sell it, and give it to the poor. Well, that was the rich young ruler. 3.5 years after my wife and I received Jesus, baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Lord spoke to me. And at that time, I had 150 greyhounds. I had trucks. I had equipment. It was time for me to get out. I was going to get out right away because I'd listened to all people at that time. You need to quit doing that. Well, I wasn't gambling anymore, but I still had this business. The Lord said, stay there until I tell you to leave. And I immediately had no more desire the day I was saved. Old things passed away. I had no desire to even look at a program because I had this. And so I spent 4, 5, 6, 8 hours a day for 2 years in here. The moment I understood, this is Jesus. See, we all have an idea in our mind and our heart what this book is. Some Christians think that the Old Testament is full of fairy tales. And what happens? This is getting wisdom. There is a spiritual law that is in effect all the time. It's called the law of measurement. How I measure is how it's measured back to me. So if I measure this, the Old Testament stories, as fairy tales, that's what's going to be measured back to me. Nothing. If I measure this as containing the Word of God, that's how it's going to be measured back to me. But if I know the truth of it and have the revelation, this is Jesus. That's how it's measured back to me. Amen? Jesus said, how you hear, how you measure, it'll be measured back to you. So how I'm hearing is a big factor. What I understand is a big factor. Now, some of us have heard in the past that Christians are supposed to be poor. How many of you know that if you hear it that way, what are you going to be? Poor. Well, that couldn't be further from the truth. I desire above all things that you prosper and be in health. Lord spoke to me, sell everything, give it. I sold everything, we gave it. He said, go to ministry school. We did that. When I got there, the Lord said to me, because I thought I'd really done a great thing. I sold everything. Hallelujah. Boy, he must really think I'm something. The Lord spoke to me the next morning and he said, what you did was little faith. I said, what? He said, pay attention. I'm going to show you bigger faith. That night, the first night of the school, they had an evening service. And it was time to take the offering. Well, I'd given everything away. I'd sold it all. Had the car, clothes, my wife, and 2 little children. And no money. He said, all. Well, how many of you know when Jesus says all, he means all. So the offering's coming around, and I said, well, Lord, I've sowed it all. He goes, no, you got 20 bucks in your pocket. I said, what? Reach in my pocket, and there's $20. I didn't put it there on purpose, but it was there. Now he says, I want you to give that. Now my circumstance had changed. And I want to share something with you tonight. You may think you believe something, but you're going to find out what you believe when you're in it. Hello? And most of the time, not until. That bucket started coming around, and I had a vice grip. And in my heart, I want to tell you, I gave away all that other money, and I wanted that 20 bucks. Now, think how unreasonable this is. Think about this. That 20 bucks wouldn't have fed my wife and me for a day. But I wanted it. And I was like this. And I had my hand like this. I had that 20 bucks. I mean, you know, I was just squeezing it. I mean, it was a fight. And I learned something when they say, when the Word of God says in Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. What that means. Let me tell you where most of the fights go on in our life when it comes to fighting the fight of faith. It's over money. Nothing else. It's over the money. When I say money, I'm talking about your possessions. I'm talking about your gains. I'm talking about the money that you believe you earned. You earned it. After all, I earned it. I can do whatever I want with it. At the same time, praise you, Lord, I love you. What is wrong with this picture? So, it came by, and I want to say to you, I was overjoyed, I was so happy to do it. No, I was in pain, and I still look back on that and say, how could that even be reasonable? And what God was working in my heart, He was breaking the love of money from my heart. See, God does the work. How many of you know God does the work? He could have said, I could have heard a dozen times, love of money is the root of all evil. A dozen times, but I'm going to go out and I'm not going to have love of money. Wrong, beep. He has to take it out. He has to do it. Now, there's varied ways to do it. The moment I dropped that 20 in there, that basket was right there, and the moment I let it go, it broke. And the whole time that we were school, sowing that seed, God met every need. And what I appreciated so much about that period of time in our life, we saw God do stuff that we couldn't even imagine. One example. I'm leaving class. I'm on my way back to the room. Priscilla was in the room with Joe and Dave, the two small ones. No food. I'm halfway there, and an elderly lady who was attending there, she stops me and she says, I notice you have a car. Would you drive me to the market? I said, sure. Jump in the car. I told Priscilla, I stopped in, dropped my books off, said, I'm taking so-and-so to the market. We go up to the market, and she is buying like two baskets full. I'm thinking to myself, you know, duh. I'm thinking, how much does this lady eat? We get done, we're in the checkout line, there's like 8 bags. Load them into the car, we get to the back to the dormitories, and she picks up one half of a little bag, and she goes, "This is mine, all those are yours." And from that point on, I took her to the market every week. That's just one. And I can go on and on with that, but suffice it to say, God is faithful. But also suffice it to say that the love of money is the root of all evil. Let's take a look at this for a moment, because I believe tonight, as God brings you along as a millionaire giver, this is going to be broken out of your hearts and your minds tonight by the power of God. Now, before we get into that, because I want to keep it in the sequence that the Lord gave me, many of you here, well, let me look at a verse of Scripture first. I want you to turn to, how many of you know, praise the Lord, that He is going to cause our hearts to be His. How many of you know He has to do it? It's by grace. Amen. It's by grace through faith that He causes this. Amen. How many of you are up to that? Oh, no, I'm going to try real hard on my own. Please don't. I've been there, done that. I've tried real hard and failed miserably. Doesn't work. Only thing it does is get you under condemnation and guilt because you don't feel like you're doing enough. Anybody ever been in that spot? Anybody at all? Just me? And that brother there. Everybody has. Amen? But not anymore. Turn to Matthew chapter 15. I'm going to get as far as I can go tonight. But I will cover the two things that are so important. Turn to Matthew chapter 15, look at verse 13. But He answered. Now Jesus is answering what the Pharisees have been saying, but He's answering to the disciples. Every plant which My heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. So what is God going about doing? We come to Him. Jesus is Lord and Savior. We're born again. And what is God doing in the process? He is saying, I'm going to uproot out of your heart everything that's in your heart that I didn't plant. Why? So that your heart is good ground and totally His. Now, you say, what's going on there? You and I grew up, many of us, okay, where we heard things about money. We heard things about not having enough, can't afford it. Did anybody growing up ever have your parents say to you, "We can't afford it"? Mostly all of us. If you grew up in the world system, that's part of what the world system does to you. And that gets seeded in your heart as a young. And it grows up. And it affects you. And you'll catch yourself sometimes saying, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you'll catch this thought, or you'll catch yourself saying, if I only had enough money, everything would be okay. And that's not true. Huh? Well, you can't convince me of that. I'm not here to convince you of anything. I'm here to tell you the truth. It's up to you to decide. Amen? Now, many of you have been, that plant was planted in you and the Father didn't plant it. And the Father says, tonight, I want to root out every plant of your heart that is holding you back from receiving. Anybody up for that? If that's you, stand. So Holy Spirit's moving right now in this area, and He's going to pluck them things out. He's going to pluck them out. Now the Word of God says that we can speak to the tree, command it to be plucked up and cast into the sea. So right now, I'm going to speak to it. We're not praying, oh God. No. God says, you speak to it. You tell it to get out. Right. Now, I'm going to start off, and you get a sensing or a prompting of the Spirit that He's saying to you, you talk to it and tell it to get out. Whatever it is, tell it to get out. I command you to be plucked up and cast into the sea. Get out. And you will experience by tomorrow morning, I am changed. He changed you. See? And you will find it's a whole lot easier, okay, to speak in line with the will of God, the Word of God, faith. Amen? I thank you, Lord, for showing each and every one plants that were sown that were not of you. And I thank you, Lord, for the power of your Spirit moving right now to pluck them up, to shine a light upon them, show each one what they need to take authority over, what they need to be commanded to go. Right now, I come against the words spoken that they cannot afford it. I pluck it up right now. In the name of Jesus, I command you to be cast into the sea and never come back. And I come against the power of those words right now, the effect of those words. I cancel them now in the life of every person right now. I come against lack mentality. I come against poverty mentality. I come against not having enough mentality. In the name of Jesus, I command you to be plucked up and cast into the sea now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, Lord. 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 There's a couple people here. It came Christmas time when you were young and what you really wanted didn't come. And that wounded you. And you need to be healed from that right now. And it also caused a plant to be seeded in you that you weren't good enough. And I'm not going to ask you to show yourself over that, but I am going to take authority over it in the name of Jesus. Amen. You spirit of unworthiness that's planted in the hearts of those, I come against it now in the name of Jesus. Unworthiness, get out. Not good enough, get out in Jesus' name. Not worth it, get out in the name of Jesus. I want you to declare out of your mouth right now, I'm worthy. I'm worth it. I'm valuable. God made me good. I'm good. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, here's what's going to happen. Between now, tomorrow, maybe through tomorrow, the Holy Spirit's going to bring up into you. He's going to keep rooting it out. The moment that you recognize, oh, I didn't know that was there. Don't mess with it. In the name of Jesus, get out. Get out of my life. Amen? What are we doing? We're gardening. Amen? Please be seated. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Turn over to 1 Timothy. One Timothy six. Verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Another version says this: for the love of money is a root of all evils, by means of which some, having lusted after it, were seduced from the faith, and they themselves pierced through by many pains. Now, please understand this. The love there is not agape love. It's not the love of God. But it only shows up two times in the New Testament. It is the Greek word philargyria. Philargyria. The root word philo. Philadelphia comes from that. Okay? Friend. Now, philargyria is avarice, greed, covetousness. It literally means a friend of silver. Selfishness, covetousness. If I only had enough money, everything would be all right. That's philgoria. Now, the only other place it shows up, Jesus is confronting the Pharisees. And he said, you guys are money lovers. That's all you're about. Now, understand something. It is so, so important to realize, okay, that it's not money is the root of all evil. Devil trick. Left out the important part. Amen? Now, to be a friend of, if you're a friend of money, a friend of silver, a lover of money, philogoria, okay? Understand, see, that you're laying your life down for it. A friend lays his life down. Okay? But also understand this. Every person in this earth lays their life down for something. My brother-in-law, bless his heart, he laid his life down for IBM for 30 years. For the pension. You say, well, what are you talking about, laying your life down? When that you are laying your life down or allowing someone to master over you or lord over you, you do what they say. Okay? How many of you work for an employer? How many of you know you have to do what they say? Now, am I saying quit and all of that? No, I'm not saying that. Don't run off the reservation on me here. I'm talking about your heart. When Jesus said to the rich young ruler, he said, sell all you have and give it to the poor. He's not saying to every single person to do exactly that, but he is saying this, in your heart will you give me everything. All your possessions, all your earnings, all your gains, everything. Because I am your total source. And this is the beginning of becoming a millionaire giver. This is a starting point. Every single time that when the Lord speaks to us and He says, I want you to give, and we don't. We're serving mammon. It's got control. Now, how many of you know God does not want evil ruling and coming into our lives? How many of you know He doesn't want us to have wars all the time? Amen? Now, if we go back over to Luke 16, and we looked at it last week, Luke chapter 16, and that's the story of the steward who was unfaithful. Now, I'm not going to read it all through again, but suffice it to say, the steward was found out to be unfaithful. His employer said, you're done. He got concerned. He said, what am I going to do? Where am I going to live? Where am I going to go? And so he went to the customers and he had them all cut their bill in half. For two reasons. One, he was getting a kickback. And two, he can come back to them and say, you owe me a favor. Jesus commends this guy and says, he commends the unjust steward. But here's the reason why. Look at the verse. So, verse 8. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. Now, here's the key. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. We got any sons of light here? One, two, three. A couple of you. We have any sons of light here?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Say, I am a son of light. It's always good to say good things in line with the word. Amen? Amen? So, what was he commending them? He commended them because they used the world system to his benefit. But he's saying, my kids, my children, my sons, the sons of light are not using the principles of the word of God which are laid down to benefit them. Hello? How many of you know that when God created everything out of His sovereignty, out of the counsel of His own will, He made things to work a particular way. And they work that way all the time. How many of you know gravity still is gravity and you will still fall off the building? You will not go up. It is a physical law that God put into place. And it always works. So if I meet the condition of dropping something, how many of you know that if I drop something, what's going to happen to this? How many can guess? Take a guess. If I drop this, what is going to happen? How many of you are not surprised? Because you know that's what works. You already know. Same thing with spiritual laws. If I don't sow, I can't reap. Well, God bless me if He wants to. Really? Way back in Genesis, He spoke to man, Adam. He said, be fruitful and multiply. And then He said, see, I give you the fruit that bears the seed. Plant it. So you will be fruitful and multiply. Can you see that? Now, God does one thing. He puts the seed in our hands, in our control. Right? He takes care of everything else. He makes it grow. He makes it happen. He does everything else, but what he does do is he gives us the seed. So it goes through our will and our decision and our choice to sow it. Can I give you a scenario? Let's say you got home tonight and a person knocked on the door and they gave you $10,000. And we would say, praise the Lord. We'd jump up and down. We'd say, oh God, you're so good. And then an hour later, the Lord speaks to you and says, tomorrow, I want you to give that $10,000 to God's Quest Ministry. Well, a couple people would be jumping up and down. However, not yet. Can you do it? Huh? Well, let me say this to you before you answer that. If you can't give the first 100, you'll never give the 10,000. How do I know that? Jesus said so. If you are not faithful in little, you can't be faithful in more. So, I will say this under the authority of the Word of God. God is not going to give you $1 million tomorrow. Why? Here's the question. We'll reach a place in our life where we will trust God. How many trust God? Put your hand up if you trust God. I trust God. Here's the question. Can He trust you? Sometimes we grow impatient because we want it all now. But see, God is also about us not failing. He's about us succeeding. He's about us growing. He's about us increasing. He's about us in our heart. So He says, here's 100. We all understand, God, I need this 100. Just like I needed the 20, even as crazy as that was. See? Now, let me explain something to you, and we'll close with this. We'll pick it up next time, which is in 2 weeks, and we're going to get into more of the principles, but we need the love of money broken in your heart tonight before we leave. Amen? Now, let me explain something to you. Wars, okay, trials, tribulation, the difference between that and a test. We get confused sometimes. God never tests us. He only speaks to us. The test that comes from that comes from our own heart. What's there? Now let me use an example. When my second son was about 6 years old, he wanted to play baseball. And so I said, okay, Dave, I'm going to teach you how to hit. And so I went out in the backyard. I had the bat. I had the ball. And I said, we're going to learn. I said, now, let me show you how to hold the bat. Let me show you how to stand. He took the bat from me and said, I can do it. I said, really? So you don't need me to show you? No, I can do it. So he took the bat, he held it in two hands, and he did this. Go ahead, throw the ball. Now, I wasn't testing him. I was just saying, let me teach you. I didn't say, boy, I'm going to put him through a test now. Boy, I'm going to test him. I'm going to find out what he's made of. And none of us have done that with our children. Why would the Father do it to us? However, once he got to the place where he realized, this isn't going to work, because I said, what if you miss? What's going to happen? I'm going to get hit in the head. Then he says, show me. So I show him how to hold it, and so forth and so on. And I'm going to brag on him a little bit, if you don't mind. What in Quakertown Little League, when he was 11 years old, he set the record for the most home runs, at least up to that point. And this was in the 80s, so it might have been broken. But he had 18 home runs in 18 games. The coaches came and said, when the game's on the line, he's the last player we want to see at bat. We fear him the most at bat. Now, the reason I say that he achieved that, is because he came and he said to one of the other coaches, I listened to my dad, I did what he said. How about we listen to the Father and do what he says? Then we'll be hitting home runs and they'll come and say, and the devil come, I fear you more than anybody. Why? Because you're doing what daddy says. Because daddy knows best. Amen? Are you with me here? Do you understand? It's not as complicated as we make it sometimes. It's much simpler than that. And all of the natural that God has created, He created so we can learn from it. Amen? That's what He did. That was the purpose of which He did that. So we can look at things in the natural. The family and how we work in the family. When is the last time that you as a father or a mother broke your children's legs to teach them something? They'd put you in jail. For the things that God has been slandered, the things that have been slandered about God, God should be in jail. Huh? If you then being evil, Jesus said, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does the Father know to give good gifts to His? If you took that one verse and you went over that verse and you thought about that verse and you allow that verse to work in you, that one truth would change your life. The power in that word released to understand God is never going to do anything bad to me. He's not angry with me. He is only out for my good. It's man-made religion. It's all of that that's besmirched His name. He said to the Pharisees, you teach the commands of man as though they are the Word of God. Father, we don't want any commands of men in our life. Amen? Especially the ones I make for me. Amen. Love of money is not only I'm trying to get more and more and more and more. Love of money is I'm rat holing what I got. Because I'm afraid to give it. I'm afraid to sow it. I'm afraid to do what God has said to do. I'm afraid to do what Daddy's saying. Love of money is behind that. I can tell you, has never failed. Never failed. in the 35 years plus that I've been running with him. Amen. When God gives you the seed, and he will, all of you right now, you're going to get seed from God. He's going to give you seed. And then he's going to say, I want you to give it, and he's going to tell you where. Now, let me explain something to you. The word said that the word of God tried Abraham. And it wasn't God trying him, was it? When you have that seed and he speaks to you, how many of you know the test is in the saying? The word of the Lord comes, you're going to be in a test in your own heart. Has nothing to do with God up there going on. No, he's telling us what will set us free. He's telling us what will cause us to be fruitful and multiply. He is telling us what's best for us. The same way you told your children stuff that was the best for them, and they didn't do it. And they went out and got a bloody nose or whatever it was. Did you want them to? No. You just wanted to do what you knew was best for them, and you told them as a good parent. Is Father God good? So you're going to tell us. Amen? Do you trust him? I'm going to close with this. 2006, I had a man call me on the phone. I don't know if he had the means to do this or not. He called me on the phone and he said, would you take $1 million right now to renounce the Holy Spirit out of your life? I said, are you trying to buy me off? I want to tell you honestly and truly, it wasn't even tempting. I said, you got to be kidding. You think that's enough? I said, there's no amount of money. I would not give up the Spirit of God for any amount of money. Oh, I just wanted to know. Hung up. How much can the enemy, how much does it take the enemy to bribe you? To say, I don't know Jesus. Is there a number? I want you all to say there is no number. Now, one reason there can never be a number is because you have given everything to him. It all belongs to him anyway. Everything belongs to him. Now, before we pray this tonight, I want to tell you, God takes you at your word. Oh, he's going to know what I... No, 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 no. He takes you at your word and deals with you right now according to the word you gave him. God is looking for people in these last days that he can trust. And he wants to trust people in this room with millions of dollars. In this room. Amen. Well, I find that hard to believe. You just disqualified yourself. You better find it easy to believe. Amen. Pray this after me right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I renounce love of money right now. And Father, by your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit, cleanse my heart through faith of the love of money right now in Jesus' name. Now I take authority over you, mammon, right now in the name of Jesus. And I command you to serve me In the name of Jesus, I'm no longer your slave. I'm no longer subject to you. You will no longer order me around. From this point on, you will serve me. And you will do what I command you to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now next time, we're going to get into it a little bit more. Okay? How many of you know we do need money? But we need it in its place. No more making decisions on money. No more taking a job on money. No more moving because there's money. No more of that. Jesus is Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, as Brother Don is coming...